1995, the internet was in its infancy. Cell phones were the size of your head, and VHS tapes were all the rage. It would take over a decade until YouTube and viral videos became a mainstay of our online lives. And yet, viral videos began in this decidedly analog year. Your dancing cats, your kids babbling after the dentist, your double rainbows, they all have their roots in an underground video sensation from 1995. Independent producer J.P. Davidson brings us this story of viral videos, Patient Zero.
Viral videos have completely changed the way we think about mainstream media. But how did we get here? Who was the patient zero for viral videos? The story starts with these two film students who raised $125,000 to produce their first feature-length film. The true story of Alfred Packer, an 1870s prospector accused of cannibalism.
Yes, the snow is deep.
It was a unique subject, especially for a musical.
And maybe we'll all get really sick. And maybe we'll all die.
So let's build a snowman. We can make him our best friend.
They finished the movie over spring break and submitted it to the Sundance Film Festival. And it was rejected. So they rented a banquet hall in one of the festival hotels and put on their own screening. And it turns out that one of the people lured into that unofficial screening was an executive from Fox Studios.
My name is Brian Graydon, and I've been a television executive for a lot of years, first at Fox, and then later running MTV and VH1.
Brian loved the movie. So when our two filmmakers graduated and moved to Hollywood, Brian did his best to help them out.
We developed a couple of pilots with them, and nothing really, you know, got off the ground beyond the pilot stage. And so it got to be around Christmas time, and I remember the guy sort of needed, you know, cash to pay rent. And so I said, why don't you do a Christmas card for me, a little video that I'll send out to, you know, a couple hundred contacts in the industry.
So the guys went home and set to work on Brian's video Christmas card.
So they come back 2 weeks later. I want to say it's probably early December at this point. And I remember this as distinctly as yesterday. They walked into our sort of open office pit area, and there were probably 10 or 15 of us that worked in that open area. So we all came out and sort of gravitated to the TV and popped it in, and, you know, never laughed so hard in my life as I did during those 5 minutes.
But Brian started to have second thoughts about sending it out to all his TV industry contacts.
I loved it, but it was so inappropriate that I think I reduced my list from like 200 to maybe 30 people.
There was a lot of swearing in this animated Christmas card. Also, a fight to the death between Santa Claus and Jesus Christ.
You have blemished the meaning of Christmas for the last time, Kringle.
I bring happiness and love to children all over the world.
Christmas is for celebrating my birth.
Christmas is for giving.
I'm here to put an end to your blasphemy.
This time we finish it. There can be only one.
You stepped on my foot, you p***.
Dude, don't say p*** in front of Jesus.
So by now you may have guessed that our two filmmakers are Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the creators of the wildly successful animated series South Park. As unlikely as it seemed at the time, Brian's Christmas card was their ticket to success, about to become the world's first viral video. But how? We're still only in 1995 here, and YouTube won't even exist for another 10 years. Remember, we're talking about sending out VHS tapes by snail mail. And it wasn't even going to Brian's most important TV industry contacts anymore.
So as opposed to even industry contacts, it ended up just going to my friends. But even that backfired because some of them had little kids. I want to say it went to like 37, 38 people, something like that.
And then it's the holidays, and he's away for a few weeks.
It wasn't until I came back and popped by a couple of agents' offices where they said, oh my God, you have to see this video. And they popped in what clearly was a 17th generation dub of the Christmas video. Nobody even knew where it came from necessarily or had an accurate story.
The video just kept spreading. People all over Hollywood were manually copying VHS tapes and making copies of the copies and copies of those copies. And somehow, one of the copies traveled over 1,000 miles to Dallas, Texas. That's where Jay Krybek was working, fresh out of college, at a video game studio.
I don't know this for sure, but I believe the person in question worked either for Nintendo or was a client of Nintendo. But at some point, you know, during the visit, he pulled this tape out of his bag. He's like, hey, you guys should watch this. It's hysterical. And, you know, of course, we're all dying laughing, and it was like, hey, you know, that was awesome. And a couple guys asked for copies. I was not one of them. But about a week later, people were still talking about it.
So Jay made a few copies of this mystery tape as Christmas gifts for his friends. Sure, he got the tape for free, but it's the thought that counts, right?
You know, I had to go out and buy mailers and, you know, walk down to the post office and get $2.50 or whatever, put out each envelope. And, I mean, you know, come on. This is not like, oh, that was funny. Copy, open Facebook, paste, done. You know, I mean, it took work.
Now, this is Christmas 1996, a full year after Brian sent out the original videotapes in Hollywood. Glacially slow by today's viral video standards. But things were about to speed up. One of the friends Jay sent the video to was still in college back in Illinois.
That was 2 or 3 years after the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, which is where all of us went to school, had installed networks in the dorms. And so somebody digitized the film and stuck it up on their personal computer in the dorm.
The video created a huge spike in the dorm's internet traffic.
The poor guys in their dorm room, I mean, thousands of downloads on this 53 meg file, which, you know, back then, that was still something, right?
Apparently, the guy hosting the file had to buy a second computer to actually get any schoolwork done. So how did a dorm room in Illinois become ground zero for a viral video revolution?
The first web browser that was just, you know, download and use it was NTSA Mosaic. That web browser was developed at the University of Illinois.
Students at the University of Illinois were among the first in the country to combine fast internet connections with easy-to-use browser software.
It was all happening right in front of us. We were maybe 6 months to a year ahead of everyone else.
But back in Hollywood, Brian, Matt, and Trey were struggling to get the South Park series off the ground. Finally, a small, relatively new cable channel said they'd finance the pilot. So in a huge act of faith, Brian left Fox to work on the pilot for Comedy Central with Matt and Trey.
I went from a job at Fox where everyone returned your calls to working above a little grocery store with Matt and Trey every day.
It ended up taking over a year to finish the first episode. And when it was finally done, they still had a huge hurdle to overcome before the network would order more episodes. The focus group.
The focus group proceeded to sort of give it the lowest rating I'd ever seen in my life until that point or since. And I remember a lot of people gave it ones out of tens. I remember two or three women started crying because they said it was just too inappropriate to have children say those kinds of things. So I thought at that point we were doomed. I had to kind of tell the guys that this doesn't look good. And I remember kind of being, you know, a little heartbroken over it.
It was crushing. Women had cried. So as they walked into the meeting with Comedy Central, Brian, Matt, and Trey braced themselves to be dropped by the network.
And really, to our astonishment, they said, well, we still think it's funny, so let's take a flyer on Six. And had we went with a major network, I think they couldn't have done that. But Comedy Central at the time really had nothing to lose.
So the little cable channel with nothing to lose ordered six episodes. Those guys with the Christmas video had gotten a show.
Where it really hit me, what had happened was when we premiered, because we premiered in the August, that would be a year and a half after the Christmas video went out, almost a year and 8 months. And, you know, Comedy Central did a little tiny advertising on their little tiny cable channel, but that wasn't going to reach many people. But the premiere rating was the highest rating ever to that point in cable for any series. None of us could explain that, and then we figured out that the video had literally went to so many people that had been the marketing for it. So it really was the first, in a way, viral marketing campaign. We just hadn't been clever enough to engineer it, but that's really what had happened. And I really found out by talking to college kids who were, like, younger than Trey, Matt, and I at that time, because all of them had seen it, because colleges just had those T1 lines for internet, and that's where tons and tons of kids had seen it in that second year after it was released.
Brian remembers it was a strange feeling.
Sort of surreal. There was a moment I remember I can't remember if Matt and Trey were with me or not, but I was walking through Times Square maybe 8 weeks after the show premiered, and in every single shop I passed, there was counterfeit South Park merchandise. We hadn't done a single license yet, but everywhere was Cartman something, and just shop after shop after shop, and they were on the cover of Newsweek, if I remember right. And I remember thinking, this is the weirdest. It's like in one of those movies where the newspaper starts spinning with the headlines out of nowhere.
South Park may never have come to be without those college kids, especially the ones in Illinois. For his part, Jay Krybek just saw something he liked, and he followed that same tug we all feel when we share something new and exciting on Facebook or Twitter or Tumblr.
This is so awesome, and I found it, and I'm going to be the one to share it with you.
Finally, Jay says he's happy for Brian, Matt, and Trey. He's glad he could contribute to their success, but...
Well, I was a critical link in the chain that eventually led to this, you know, multi-million dollar media empire that Trey and Matt have. So I figure that they owe me about $6. And if I ever run across them, I'm going to say, hey, you owe me a beer.
J.P. Davidson is an independent radio producer in Toronto, Canada. That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Jamie York, Alex Goldman, PJ Vogt, Sarah Abdorahman, and Chris Neary. We had more help from Krista Ripple, and it was edited by me. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineer this week was Rob Frankel. Katya Rogers is our senior producer. Jim Schachter is vice president for news and our boss. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. On the Media is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR. Bob Garfield will be back next week. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
Support for On the Media comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Jane Marcher Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.